Thank you very much for tuning in this evening. I'm sitting in for George Norrie. I am Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio. You can find more information about me at darknessradio.com. If you have questions you'd like me to put in through the show and do my best to answer, you can email me, Dave at darknessradio.com. Dave at darknessradio.com. I'm here with you again tomorrow night. Jeff Belanger, researcher and author and investigator, is here to talk to us about time travel and time slips, strange phenomena in time in the first 2 hours. Tomorrow night in the last 2 hours, Michelle Zirkle Markham, an author from West Virginia who's written about her experience of her home being visited by a demonic force manifesting itself as water coming from nowhere. Rain no evil, that's what we'll be talking about in the show tomorrow. So I hope you'll check it out and be a part of that with me. This evening, it's open phone lines. We're taking your calls. We'd love to hear from you. If you've had strange experiences in the woods, you've had weird things go on, you'd like to chat about that, or you have some insights or beliefs on what it is that has been going on out there, give us a call. Or if you have different topics you'd like to share, we'll certainly talk to you and entertain those ideas as well. Before the break, we were talking to Barry from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Barry, welcome back to the show.
Hello there, Dave. It's obvious, buddy, that you play your own bumper music. About an hour ago, you played good old Billy Idol doing White Wedding.
And, I'd love to take the nod for that, but tonight, actually, my buddy Dan Galante is doing all that work for me this evening, pulling the music.
Oh, okay, no problem, but he's a good rocker, and I'm in one of Billy Idol's videos, the remake of Money Money, the old Tommy James and the Shondells song, and the concert was over, and he said, all right, everybody stick around, and they played Money Money about 10 times with 10 cameras in the crowd, and there I am right in the middle of them shaking my fist at the camera.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. I just got to see Billy Idol perform for the first time. He was at First Avenue here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and I took my my son for his first 18-plus concert, and we got to go see Billy Idol. We were about fourth row right there watching him, and, man, can that guy still rock. It's amazing.
Oh, I'm telling you, buddy. I mean, I love that guy. He's got so much energy, and if that Steve Stevens was still with him playing lead guitar,
Steve was great. Yep. Yeah, Steve rocked it for the entire night. Talking about bringing it, you've got energy at this time of night. Barry, what's your story you wanted to share with us?
Well, I tell you what, I want to comment on Steph Young that was on earlier. And you remember the story she told about an hour and a half ago? It was kind of long, about the young man who had told his family that he was leaving for Wyoming, and he took his research work that he'd done and left, and they found his car on the side of the road, and he had then he disappeared for 4 years, Dave. And if you'll remember her story, sure enough, they later on they found his body, which was mummified and had a strange hole in his head.
Yes,
and sure enough, I've got a theory. I swear, Dave, I think the aliens had been in touch with him, and he knew. And he went on a voyage with them, and they did some kind of research and then brought him back. Because after 4 years, you know as well as I do, his body would have been nothing but bones left.
Right.
And his body was intact. And I think there are aliens. I think they're from possibly, in my opinion, right here in our own solar system, not way off. I think they're an advanced race of us, you know, like 50,000 years ahead of us, and they've already experienced being here, and they're coming back to re-communicate with us.
That's a fascinating aspect. You know, I kind of think that about time travelers as well. I think time travelers and aliens and a lot of the UFOs that we see may just be us from the future coming back to document history and not just take it by the word of the winner, but take it by what actually went down. So that's kind of where I stand on the whole theory with alien interaction with us as well, is that it might just be us from the future.
Yes, you're exactly right. And listen, when I'm in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, are you on this market? I've tried to find you on at Darkness Radio, and I can't find the station you're on.
We're on the Twin Cities News Talk Station, AM 1130 out of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah,
so if you if you have a smartphone or a tablet or even your computer, you just go to iHeartRadio. You can get the free application, and you can stream us from any mobile device or your computer by just looking up Live Station KTLK, and you'll be able to listen to our show.
I'll have to get my grandkids to do it. I'm 73 years old, and I can't even turn a computer on.
Okay, not a problem. Well, and like I said, if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, you can do it that way as well. Barry, thank you so much for listening and calling in and trying to find us. We appreciate it. Let's go to a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with more calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader, sitting in for George Norrie. Again, I'll be back with you tomorrow night as well. Right now, it's open phone lines west of the Rockies. Jessica and Bolton, you're with us. Good evening.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Jessica.
Okay, so I have so much to talk about. First of all, I wanted to go back and refer to that part of the story where she talked about the girl having an astral battle. I personally have had astral battles. I've been astral projecting since I was 15. So
okay.
I'm 18 now. I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So first of all, she was talking about portals. I would say about 80% of the time that there is a portal, right?
Ooh, Jessica, we're starting to lose you. I don't know if you're moving around or what, but your signal's gotten really bad.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, there you are.
Okay, yeah. There's a portal across the street of my house, an astral portal that I use to go into the astral plane. And from there, I see amazing things. I've been going there for 3 years, as I mentioned. And so I've actually acquired something that I call astral blood. I was attacked in the astral realm. Details, I'm not going to go too much into to keep it short.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing an article of clothing, and when I woke up, this clothing had these stains on it that appeared as blood stains. I never washed it after that because I was afraid of losing that, but I think it's the strangest thing that this article of clothing, after I was attacked in this astral realm, has these what appears to be blood stains. It reminds me of those people who get attacked by demons, patches on them. That's somewhat what it reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, there's a pattern that I noticed in these projections, and I had no idea that it was experienced by many people. Me, I started to write these down. I call them parallels. When I was projecting, I noticed that it would happen on days such as the 11th or the 12th or the 22nd. There was always an 11 or a 22 somewhere, and before I would have a major projection, I would start to see 11s, 12s, 1s, and 2s all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I would see it written on paper. It was strange that it happened, and I would end up having an astral projection. And as I researched it, it turns out that these are considered stargate gateways into the astral realm. Anyways, I've seen monsters in there. I wanted to talk about three monsters.
All right, Jessica, we've got a horrible connection, unfortunately. I don't know if you want to hang up and try to give us a buzz back. I'll have our screener, Donna, push you to the front of the line again, but your phone line keeps dipping in and out, and it's extremely hard to hear your story. So I want to do you justice and the listeners so that they can actually hear what you have to share. So we're going to let you go. Please try to call back in immediately, and we'll get you back in queue if we can get you a line that doesn't keep dropping out. Let's go wild card line 3, Mike in Wyoming. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave, for taking my call. I'm going to keep this short.
Okay.
Unlike some of the previous callers, not to mention any names.
Everybody's got a story to tell. It's all right, Mike. What's your story?
I got two quick ones. One happened when I was about 18 years old, and I was hunting up in the mountains of north central Wyoming. And I was hunting alone. There was about 6-8 inches of snow on the ground, so there was ample opportunity for tracks. And I was sneaking along, being pretty quiet, and I could hear something following me. And it's not unusual for a gnarly old bull elk to do that. So
all right.
this goes on for, I don't know, half an hour or so, and it's starting to bug me. So then I start zigzagging and stopping and hiding in places where I can watch my back trail.
Okay.
Well, nothing would ever appear along my back trail. So I'd go back and I'd check the tracks. Nothing. This went on for roughly an hour, and it finally spooked me enough to where I left, and I have no idea what it was or where it came from or where it went, but it was definitely, there was something definitely there following me. So I'll leave that to your imagination as well as mine.
You never physically saw anything, but could you just sense it? Is that what it was?
I could hear footfalls.
Okay.
And I'd be walking along and stop, and whatever was behind me would take a couple of steps and stop. It was like they were just weren't sure when I was going to stop, so they'd end up leaving a couple of footfalls prior to my stopping. So that was how I knew there was something there. I could hear them. And they weren't that far away because, there was snow on the ground, and that muffles a lot of sound in itself. So, anyway, that was my being followed in the woods experience. The second experience is a Bigfoot encounter back about 1975, I think. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend and I had went from Livingston, Montana, over to Wallace, Idaho. I was looking for work. And on our way back, it was in summertime, and we were running short on money, so we were looking for a place to just camp out for the night. And just northwest of St. Regis, coming off Lookout Pass, I found a road that turned off and went back up into the mountains there. And we traveled up this road for, a couple of miles, and it was kind of in the bottom of a little valley there, and there was a big ridge to the east and one to the west. And we got up there, and there was a little road that turned off to the right that went in there and opened up into a little park of about, probably 100 foot in diameter. So I turned the pickup around so I could be headed out first thing in the morning, and we got our sleeping bags out and threw them out in the back of the pickup, and we're laying there looking at all the stars, and all of a sudden, way back up on top of this ridge, there was this horrible scream, roar, whatever you want to call it. It was just blood-curdling right from the beginning to the eventual end. And this, I figured it had to be at least a mile or so from where we were at, and I could hear it coming off the ridge. I mean, it was just crashing, tearing trees out of the way. It was just like it was PO'd that I was even in the vicinity, and just crashing and thrashing and banging. And it got down right to this little edge of this clearing, and he stayed just inside of the tree line where I couldn't see him, and I didn't have a flashlight. And he stopped, and for several minutes, he just stood there listening and what have you. And I had every gun I owned in my possession, and they were all lined up ready to go. This thing was going to rush out and attack us, but nothing ever happened. Then pretty quick, he just walked off, and didn't get much sleep that night. But those are my two stories.
Very cool. Thank you very much for giving us a call and sharing your tales with us this evening. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, Carlos in Texas. You're on the air. Carlos, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Carlos, what did you want to share with us?
Okay, I have one story where I'm from South Texas. When I say South Texas, I mean about 5 minutes from the Mexican border.
Okay.
I'm from Mission, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out one day driving my bike just for exercise. And when there's a lot of dirt roads out here between my mom's house and the river, the Rio Grande River, that separates Mexico and the U.S. And I was out in a dirt road, and I had taken this route several times before, and every time I had gone, there had been almost no traffic or anybody else around. So every time I go, I'm always by myself. And this experience happened in broad daylight. I was heading back. I was still about 2 miles out from where my mom's house is. I looked over my shoulder, and I saw a person who seemed to be dressed in white, I guess like sweatpants and maybe a sweater.
Okay.
And like they were jogging behind me, jogging along the dirt road. And it's a very rural area. It's undeveloped. And I panicked a little bit because I'm used to being out there absolutely alone, nobody else. And so I pedaled a little faster. And a few moments later, I turned over my shoulder again. And I saw not a person that was in white, but I saw it looked like a wolf or an Alaskan husky, almost as if that thing that I had seen before transformed into some sort of dog that was completely white. And
wow, like a skinwalker. Okay.
And I pedaled faster, kept going, turned around one last time, and I saw nothing behind me anymore. But I still had that accelerated heart rate because of how real this experience was. And I was 100% sure that I had seen something or felt something following behind me out where I'm used to being absolutely alone, which is
right.
Really strange.
That's creepy. Now, do you put yourself back out there? Have you had any experiences like that since?
I have gone back out there, and I haven't had any more experiences like that. It seems to be an isolated incident.
Did you go back out there with trepidation after having that experience? Were you unnerved going back out there again?
No, I continue to do it just as part of like an exercise routine. So it was, I enjoy going out there. It's away from traffic. It's away from development and noise and civilization. So, but no, I didn't do it with fear or anything, but that moment that it did happen to me, it was very, it made my heart rate accelerate big time. And
I
haven't felt that out there.
Yeah, I would guess. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, Carlos. We appreciate it. What a fascinating story. I don't know. I hear some of these people that have had experiences like that, and then they continue to go back out there. I give you a lot of credit, because if I'm being followed by some large being in white that transforms into a giant white wolf, it's time to just stay home. That's what Netflix is for. Hey, I want to make a quick mention, if I could. As I mentioned earlier in the show, my mom passed away on November 15th after a short bout of cancer, lung cancer. And tomorrow night, we're going to be talking with Jeff Belanger on our show. He's going to be talking about time travel and time phenomena, but he's doing something pretty remarkable. He's going to be heading to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in March of 2017 to help raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. By participating as a member of Team in Training, he's raising funds to help find cures and ensure access for treatments for blood cancer patients. So your donations help fund treatments that save lives every day, like immunotherapies that use a person's own immune system to kill cancer. And you may not know it, but every single donation helps save a life with breakthrough therapies such as these. Patients need these cures, and they need your support. It's very simple, very easy to do. And what he's recommended is he's got to climb 19,341 feet. He says, how about you donate $19.34? That's one penny for every 10 feet he has to climb. You can find more information and you can find a banner to make that donation. All the money goes directly to a 501c3 with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. You can find it at darknessradio.com on our front page and help make a difference in the lives of people suffering with cancer. We'll be back with more of your calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being a part of our world. We've got open phone lines for the remainder of the show, and I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. We'll be talking about time travel with Jeff Belanger, time slips, time travel, and weird time phenomena. Let's go back to the calls. We've got wild card line one, Dean in Idaho. Welcome to the show.
Howdy.
How you doing tonight, Dean?
Well, I thought I was going to have a peaceful night. And we were, used coast to coast as a placebo to get me to sleep sometimes, I think.
And we didn't do that for you tonight? We shook you up a little bit?
Well, you were talking about your mom passing.
Yeah.
And another fella, his love and concern for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd had a few experiences, and I've done a lot of studying since then, because probably the first one was in 1964, which was a few years back. In fact, 50 or thereabouts. But I had been married for about 3 years, I guess, and we had our young son. Who was maybe 6 months old, as I remember, and I had developed because I worked a job that required long hours and a week at a time out of town, but and on a mountaintop. But anyway, I had an experience that I became ill and developed Klebsiella pneumonia. Now, at that time, they didn't have any antibiotic or anything that would hit it. And I was told by my physician, an internist, to get my affairs in order.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and indeed, he was right. About a month after he told me that, it was in the middle of the night, and I decided to get up and get me a glass of water, and I did. And there was a, you know, our cupboard had all sorts of glasses in there, and there's one that was had a Coke shape to it. And you don't see them around much anymore, but I'm sure a lot of you
sure
people have been around know what a Coke shaped glass is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we got some water and went back to go back to bed. And when I did, you know, the nightlight was on and everything. I saw something strange. I was still in the bed with my wife.
Mm.
And our son's crib was still to the side of it. And I thought, boy, this is a weird dream.
Right.
But I looked at that for a minute and thought that was extremely odd. But anyway, about this time, they had a couple of guys that were in white clothing, they appeared, and I was thinking, what's going on here, you know? And I tried to get back in bed, and they wouldn't have any of that, and they wanted me to go with them. And at that time, I mean, hey, if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
But at that time, you know, things became sort of translucent, and I could see through the wall to outside, and it was if it was noonday, you know, like the sun was up and everything, and they impressed upon me that my time had come, and they beckoned that I should follow them, and I did, and you know, and I was gone from the darkness of the room and into the daylight outside, and I without even thinking, you know, I went right through the wall with them.
Right.
And I was shown some things. I mean, it was a beautiful place. It was still the place I was familiar with. And
sure.
A willow tree across the way, you know. And it was very, except everything was sort of translucent, like it was lighting up by its own fruition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, we were... these fellas, they seemed familiar, but yet... I didn't know them, and there were people there busy, and most of them were dressed in white, and some of them were dressed otherwise, but I was shown this, well, it was about a couple hundred yards from the house, because, you know, I said, hey, when I come back the next day, and I went and followed my steps and everything. There was an empty field beyond the houses on the other side of the lane there, and I was taken out there, and there was this great white building, and there was also slightly beyond the building, there was like a gulf, It had steep sides, had fog in it, and I'd estimate it to be maybe 50 yards across. But whatever, I was led in this white building, and up to the second layer of a second story, and there were pillars all around. And hey, again, I wouldn't believe this myself had it not happened to me. And later episodes since, which have, you know, given more detailed information. But I was taken up there, and there were, you know, there were calls.
So do you believe these were these angels or aliens that you were dealing with?
Well, hey, they were all grown-ups, but I'd say they were in the age of mid-20s, all right. Didn't see
anybody
old over there. Didn't see anybody, any children to speak of. But anyway, I was taken to this place, and I'd estimate, you know, that upper place was maybe, big building, about 40 or 50 yards, you know, square. And around the outside edge of this building were these columns, and they had vertical writing on them, and I couldn't understand it. And I just had that thought, you know, what's all this? I can't decipher that. And as I thought that, hey, they changed. I mean, literally, either they changed or my mind was opened up to what they said. And it dawned on me, hey, there were a lot of names on those pillars. These were names now that I could read, and a lot of them were scriptural names. And there was this table about in the center of this place, and it had seven columns on it. Okay, and those columns had, and they were small columns, but they also had names on them.
We're going to have to go to commercial in about a minute or so here, Dean, please.
Okay, you want me to wrap this up, or do you want me to hold it?
Yeah, if you could wrap it up for us here. I want to hear the end of the story, as I'm sure our listeners do, but okay. I just want you to be aware we have to cut out.
Okay, if you don't hold me over, I would recommend the book At the Hour of Death by Doctors Osis and Harrelton, a study of 2,000 such experiences that people could reference. And, of course, it's out of print now, but they can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
At the Hour of Death by Doctors Osis and Harrelton of Duke University, I think. But
when you had this overall experience, what did you take away from it? I mean, what did you feel? Were you being given an opportunity to come back? Were they trying to inform you of what comes next to ease your fear?
Adam's name was on the first column, mm-hmm. on that small table. And Joseph Smith's name was on the last column.
Hmm.
And for those that don't know, he and his brother Hiram were murdered by a mob in the last, well, into 1800s. And people ought to really take note of this, because they can read probably some of the episodes in the 16th chapter, Luke 19th verse, about how this is organized over there. I came out of that, and I was led, and there's this great gulf I was talking about. Lucifer, Satan, was on the other side of that, and he was blaspheming God. And those that believe that the devil doesn't exist, he does. And if that's a great royal secret, it's not true. And if we have rich men that are in charge of things, I would again go back and read that verse in the 16th chapter of Luke, because...
You feel that there's answers there for us. Dean, thank you so much for calling in and sharing some of your insights this evening. We have to take a break. We'll come back. We've got a few more calls to wrap up before we end the show this evening. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, welcome back to the show. I'd like to try to fit in as many callers as we can here. And I never want to be short with our listeners. So if you can, if you've got a story, get right into it for us and deliver what you wanted to share. That'd be great. I don't want you to cut too much of your information, but in order for us to get through everybody, I just want to make sure that we can do you the best justice. So as we go to your call, if you're ready to go and you've got your story, that'd be fantastic. Let's go. First time caller. We've got Alex in Virginia. You're on the air, Alex.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Doing good, Alex. What's your story for me?
Real quick, I want to ask before I tell a story. Have you ever heard of UFOs being invisible?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm kind of new to this. I've been listening to Coast to Coast about a year. You got a fan for your show now because I'm tired of listening to politics at that time of night. But I'll be looking that up next week. But what happened to me was about a year and a half ago, I was a truck driver. And I was on 64 coming back from Norfolk, Virginia, you know, big military base. And it was about 2:30 in the morning, with no cussing on the road but me. And our tractors, our new trucks, we have this radar ahead of us. Like, you see the car commercials and how it lets you know about the car in front of you and it stops. Well, they're putting those on trucks now. And it goes off when something 4 seconds ahead of you, it starts to go off and it'll start beeping. And the closer you get to whatever's in front of you, it beeps faster. Well, I'm driving along, like I said, there was nothing ahead of me. It's nothing but darkness. And all of a sudden, it started to beep. And you think the icon on the dash showed up 4 seconds, following distance. Then it went down to 3.5. Well, when it gets down to 2, if you got a cruise control, it automatically starts to brake. And it did. Like, what in the world? Well,
right.
Have you ever been behind, has a truck ever, like, passed in front of you and you felt the wind off of it?
Right.
Well, I started feeling like, I guess you could say, turbulence on the road turbulence or whatever. Like, what in the world's going on? Well, I couldn't see anything. And this went on for about a minute. And then the radar, they went down, it went back up to 2.5, 3.5, 4, and then it went off. So I thought it might have been a malfunction, you know, brand new truck, all electronics, took it to the shop, told them to check it out. No, it was working fine. I had never told anybody that, but just after that happened, and I started listening Coast to Coast, and I started thinking about it, and I got chills, and like I was just wondering, you know, if you
have did you have any missing time?
No, I think a little drowsy.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird, and I know after listening about UFOs for a while the past year that Virginia's kind of on that, 37th parallel, and there's always a lot of accident along there or something like that. But, I never heard if a UFO was invisible or not. So
they consider them cloaked, and some of them have been photographed in IR and other mediums where they seem to be able to pick up on it. Fascinating stuff, though, Alex. Yeah.
But to be that close after thinking about it just kind of gives you a little bit of chills, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thanks a lot. I'm glad you survived that experience, Alex, to give us a call tonight. Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Janine in Austin, Texas, here on the air.
Yes, hi. It's actually Shaheen.
Shaheen. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was going to start by saying I just love your screener. The callers have been great. I loved your guests. But, of course, you know, my path has changed. It's the same topic. When Jessica called in, she talked about her experience. Very recently, I was a targeted individual, which basically, I'm sure you've had numerous shows or you know about it, but all this technology and the way human brains can be controlled and remote control and all that. Believe me, I'm really intelligent. I've investigated all of it. It happened to me. They no longer do it because I don't put up with it. But I just, someone like her that feels like something bad has happened to her, and she wakes up with, you know, clothes, this, that, and the other. Basically what it is in a very concise nutshell is this technology was available with MKUltra in the 1960s or so. But what happened after MKUltra was that the government and different agencies need information. So they've given the technology to private agencies, and sometimes it gets abused. So if someone doesn't like you or someone wants to abuse you in some way, you can actually go pay these people for it. And I'll let Dr. John Hall and all the experts get on and explain. But, you know, I believe people when they do say they have an out-of-body experience, like this nice man that just talked. I believe him because I've had that too. But there is this other piece of it, and I just want to warn folks out there, and if it does happen to you, don't go call the cops 3,000 times over. Just, you know, read about it and try not to be scared and work through it. But it's really something.
How are they targeting you? What were they doing that you realized that you were being attacked?
That is the biggest question, is I have to explain it, so that means I have to own it. But how they targeted me was terrifying. Basically, the stalking type stuff, which I never even noticed. I'm so oblivious. I think about 1,000 things. But I kind of noticed a little with that, but that was not my deal. My deal was it being in my apartment and hearing, you know, like satanic music about 3 a.m. and chanting and stuff. And I just thought it was the people downstairs and blah, blah, blah. It went on to a point where at the beginning of October, I was seeing like satanic people and all this kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. thank God I had the awareness of mine to figure out and research it. It turns out the technology's not that difficult. People could even do it with localized, you know, wireless cameras and stuff.
Right, infrasound, there's a lot of things going on. Thank you very much for calling in. You know, people that think, oh, there's no way that you can just beam thoughts and images and words into people's mind. When the TV show Paranormal State came out, almost like 9 years ago, they used an advertising technique, and it would be billboards that when you stood in front of it, it would literally beam sound into your head. It was vibrating the bones in your head so that you could hear, and it would be whispery voices and an advertisement for it. Very unnerving. A lot of people had that experience. So there is something to that. Hey, I want to thank all of the amazing callers tonight that called in to share their stories. I'll be back again on the 9th and 10th of December, and we'll have open phone lines on the 9th. But I'll be back tomorrow night as well, where we'll look at time travel with Jeff Belanger. We'll also be talking about this woman who had a very strange experience with a demonic force that would unleash rain in her home. We'll talk about that and so much more. And I want to also just take a moment to say to all of you listeners again, thank you very much for the love and support you've given me over the loss of my mother in the last 2 weeks, and all the beautiful birthday messages you've sent me as well. And there's no need to worry about me. There's no need to be concerned. I'm doing well. And I just encourage you, make a change in your life. Tell the people that you love how you feel in every way, shape, and form. Don't wait. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Send that email. Make that call. Mend those bridges, because life is not infinite. Live like there is no afterlife, so that you make all of the amends here and that you can make things right here and leave nothing unsaid. And even if the other people aren't willing to accept it, at least you've got that peace in yourself that you've done your best to reach out and make a difference. And that's all you can possibly do. Love, laugh, and absolutely forgive as much as you can. And that'll set you free to a much better world and a world with much less in the way of grief. Thank you very much for tuning in and spending some time with me. Special thanks to our screener, Donna Walker, my producer back at home, Dan Galanti, my producer and engineer here, Tim Dennis, my producer, Amy Rouse, and Chris Boros, Lisa Lyon, and of course, the one and only George Norrie. And thank you, Steph Young, our guest in the first 2 hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow here on the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.